You are now listening to Tea Time with Cake and the Monastat.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Tea Time with Cake and Moni. Today we have a special guest host, our producer, lovely Amaya.
Hello, everybody.
And on today's show, we're going to talk about a few things, including the Oscars and some sex worker things. But first, I'd like to introduce our special guest, the creator of the Trans Ethics blog, Miss Victoria Darling. Hello, Victoria.
Hello. How are you doing today, Cake?
I'm good. Welcome to Tea Time.
It's good to be here.
So, Miss Victoria, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your blog, what it entails, how'd you come up with it, what made you want to do it, etc., and go.
Well, I'm a trans woman. I've been out since 2011. Coming out resulted in me losing the job that I had, but I was able to move from the city I was in, and I worked at a call center for a couple years. And how I got started with trans ethics is I've had problems getting employment down here. Even though I've got a stellar letter of recommendation, it's just not a job hunter's market.
Yeah.
And I realized that I followed a lot of trans sex workers on my Twitter account, and I didn't follow them for any of their work. I followed them, you know, just a few of them just in the who to follow box. And I realized that there was a lot of beauty, and I wanted to show the rest of the world that beauty. And but it actually started out to be a fan site for Nikki Flax.
Oh, okay.
And when we were talking about the direction that we wanted to take, she and I were brainstorming over Skype, and I realized that it had the potential to be so much more than just a fan site for her. And she was my first interview. I'd like to interview her again at some point, but then, you know, it just became that. I made the logo and changed up the theme a little bit, and I've just been interviewing people primarily trans women who are in the sex work industries, be that porn or modeling or escorting, and I really have, I really hope to show the beauty that I see, and I think with every interview, I manage to accomplish that a little more.
Now, what do you, like, what's, like, your stance, like, how do you feel personally about, like, sex workers, like, say, any of your friends are prostitutes, or, like, porn stars, or, like, anything, like, how do you feel personally about it?
It's...
Same with you, Bian.
Something that... it's something that I don't think I could do personally.
Okay.
But I've always thought that, you know, if somebody were in sex work, I've never seen a problem with it. I was always wondering why sex workers were so demonized, you know, but people are sexual creatures and
extremely,
and you know, if somebody can, you know, can pay for sex and it being safe and consensual, you know, why should that be illegal? It just did not make any sense to me whatsoever.
You have sex without money, what's the problem if someone like feels like not obligated, but they feel like, you know what, I'm gonna give you some coins. Thank you for giving me some
dates. It is the oldest occupation.
Yeah, it is.
Escorting and prostitution goes way, way back to,
it's like what is the, what do you think is like the first job?
Yeah, it's ancient
times. A hand job, bitch. That's the first job. Oh my gosh, no. But that's so true. Like, yeah. You look at it, like, even with, like
royalty pirates, had harems, yeah. And courtesans.
Yeah, exactly.
And
like, just, like, send all of them to my room.
Exactly, exactly. And back then it was, you know, it was acceptable.
Yeah, I never saw any issues with it, but it's nothing that I could personally do. I'm a little bit too much of a romantic in that regard, but you know, I do hold I do hold very high esteem for people that are in the sex industries,
yeah.
And you know, that was the point of trans ethics, is you know, showing that it's very diverse, different types of people, mm-hmm. Some of which, like Becca Benz, I interviewed recently, very, very intelligent, very qualified person, and just since coming out trans is, not been able to find a job, and she ended up doing a shoot for Groovy Girls and was down here for the Transgender Erotica Awards. It's just really tragic that being trans is going to automatically sort of disqualify you for a lot of work. You know, oh, you're super intelligent. Okay, you're qualified for this, 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 and this. Oh, wait, you're trans? Here, get, have a webcam. It just doesn't seem right.
That's a really good, like, viewpoint on the situation, because that, it kind of is true, because I understand where you're coming from. A lot of my transgender friends have a very hard time finding / keeping steady jobs, and it's like they either end up resorting to things like that, or it's like getting a sugar daddy, or escorting, or having to sell yourself just to pay for your life and pay your bills and just like to survive, because it's the way that some employers look at things like that, and it's I feel like it's an ongoing battle, and it's really not fair, and it's kind of obnoxious, because like you said, you have like all the recommendations for days and you're super intelligent, but then it's like someone looks at it and it's like, oh, but you're transgendered? Okay, let me just, okay. Well, I'm sorry, we're not really hiring anymore. We give it to someone else. It's like, wait, what? I'm so confused. But yeah, it's ongoing and it sucks and it's not cool, but I understand.
Well, you know, it's the whole power dynamic and, yeah. You know, there's, you know, we're a very, very far cry from true equality in this country. And whatever is holding it back, I don't know if it's, you know, right wing people with their extremely fundamentalist religious views, and or if it's just people in general being resistant to change. But we are far cry. And, you know, I really look up to people like Laverne Cox and Janet Mock and Laura Jane Grace for everything that they've done, in, you know, to advance it. And we really do need, you know, more positive role models. I think sex workers actually can be positive role models.
Absolutely.
I think they're some people, of the best.
They are.
If people get over their...
T.S. Madison.
Yeah, I was just going to say, our girl T.S. Madison, she was just... But she still does porn, and it's her followers are like, yes, I say yes. That's how she got her voice heard. She's big dick, bigdick.com, new weave, 22 inches, yes. Shake her dick around, and everyone was like, yes. But then after she got that voice, she used it for the right things. And instead of just being like, just continuing on that, and just like, oh, go buy my stuff, go buy my shirts, go buy this, go buy that, she actually uses her voice to try and be a more positive activist in the trans community, which is exactly what we need, is we need more activists in the trans community, because it's like, we have gay activists, but it's like a little handful of trans activists, but it's like, it keeps growing, which is good. And the more it grows, the more things you see start changing.
But I think it also puts us in at risk. It puts us as a target. Right now, like, we are, as the trans community, being targeted.
Yeah, it's like the more light that's being shown on it, it's like, oh, there's a whole new community that we can judge and pick on.
Exactly.
Like, that's how it is. Like,
and not just that, but if you think about like how many murders we've had just this year with all the attention in our community, this is a serious, like, we are fighting for our lives. Like,
literally.
Literally.
It's almost like it's a systematic slaughter of trans people going on. And this is something that isn't called out by the mainstream media. It's and it not. Really does need to be called out, because we are fundamentally in danger just because we dare to be who we are.
Yeah.
I was miserable, absolutely miserable in the closet. I didn't know what was, quote, wrong with me growing up. That's but crazy. The more I explored it, the more I realized I'm not alone, and it got to a point where I heard Lady Gaga's song Born This Way for the first time in February of 2011, and I stopped myself. I was like, girl, you know, you thought about transitioning, you didn't do it because of your dad. Your dad died in 2005. What is stopping you now from being who you are? And at that point, just took whatever guy clothes I had left, put them in a bag, and gave it to Goodwill. And I just, you know, I was not going to go back in the closet again.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's good. That's music's awesomely inspirational. That's dope that just some lyrics from a song changed your whole entire life forever.
It did.
And now you're sitting here and you own a friggin' awesome blog and you're interviewing people that you used to just admire from a distance on Twitter. But now you actually get to meet them and hang out with them. Like, you're on my blog, girl. Welcome to it. That's awesome. That's super dope.
But not just that. Like, you're making a change for sex workers because we are just sexualized. Like, in my line of work, I get that a lot. Like, you're just a body. You're just boobs. You're just a dick. Like, you're just a dick, sir.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's just we are over-sexualized and we're not, you know, we're not put in a... in a spotlight where, you know, our opinions matter because we're a sex worker.
Right, yeah. The most of what I got about trans people came from, you know, seeing shows like Jerry Springer, you know, and it's just really, really lowbrow media.
Yeah, and it's like that with drag queens and, like, on TV. Like, I was filming something yesterday for a friend of mine, and it seems every time I go on set with, like, drag and drag things, it's like that. They make us look like a clown. It's like they're using us as just like a clown thing. It's like, okay, we're gonna have you do something extremely stupid. I was filming something yesterday and my boss had Pandora. I had Pandora box with me at the shoot, and he had to like go behind the couch and like crawl up behind the couch and be like, hi, and like all the guys were like, oh, drag queen. I'm like, I don't think we should do that because that's making us look, it's like, it's kind of taking like two steps back, you know, the four steps forward. Like, Drag Race has kind of pulled the drag and trans community, like, up here, and now it's, like, everyone's looking at it and seeing for what it is and seeing all these other different parts of it, but it's, like, stupid stuff like that is, like, trying to pull it back, and it's, like, no, we're gonna pull you, just remember you're just a boy in a wig, or you're just a boy who thinks you're a girl, or you're just a girl who thinks you're a boy. It's, like, stupid little things like that trying to pull us back, but it's, like, no, we're trying to keep going forward. Don't pull it back.
Yeah, it's very true. Very, very true. Like, all the I'm glad that our last podcast was with Skylar.
Yeah, so I was going to say that, too, that you have, that what you had said, how you were struggling with it and you didn't really understand what was going on. We interviewed a trans man our last podcast, and it was the very same thing. He identified as a lesbian before he decided to transition. And it was because of his dad and his family that he was like, I can't do that. And he lived in the Midwest. And it was just like, he didn't really know what transgender was, but then came here and it was like, oh my God, I have support groups. I have a bunch of other transgender friends. He's like, I actually know what this is now. And now he's happy and living his life as Skylar. And you seem very happy as well. And you're living your life as Victoria. And it's like, it took you 6 years to get over whatever was holding you back. You said your dad passed away, so I guess that was the little holding you back. But then you were like, I was born this way.
Yeah.
I was born Victoria. Boom.
But getting back to sex work, I think, which is a very, very hot topic within
sex
the trans
work
community.
Is a hot topic in all communities.
Well, I think it's very prevalent between the trans community is because all the discrimination, all the lack of support puts transgender at risk for having to survive on their own, making a way for themselves. Like, I think that's something that we definitely should talk about. And it's prevalent in the gay community. Like, I know a lot of gay porn stars who only started doing porn and are gay for pay because the lack of support and the lack of jobs. Yeah. Their parents kick them out very young.
Yeah, you get disowned by your family. Oh, you're gay, or oh, you're transgender. Oh, psh, bye. A lot of families are like that, and it's upsetting. It's like, well, you move here because of what you see, like, on TV and in movies. You're like, oh, I'm going to go to Hollywood, or I'm going to go to New York City, and I'm going to be a big star, and or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But then you come here, and you kind of get into that situation. You're like, okay, this is not anything that I thought this place was going to be. So now it's like you try and find a job. Then it's like, you're uber gay. Or like you said, it's like, oh, you're transgender. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't give you a job. My bad. And then it's like, oh, well, shit. Like, I have bills to pay. I have to live somewhere. I have to feed myself. So then it's like, what can I do?
Yeah, when you are at the bottom, you have no food, no shelter, you get desperate. There, you do, yeah, you have to survive. So, as I was speaking with you earlier, I mean, I was in that place where I had nothing. And where was I? Santa Monica Boulevard. Because I was young, I was pretty, and I needed a way to survive.
Not many people know I used to be an escort for... really hope my mom doesn't listen to this. Really hope my mom doesn't listen to this. But I was an escort for a little bit when I was, like, 17, 18, 19. And it was, like... I kind of does something to you. One of my old friends, he still does it, and he's, like, 26 now, and he's been doing it since he was 19. And it, in a way, like, after doing it for so long, kind of mentally breaks you down to a point. It's like you force yourself to be attracted to these people. Because it's like, oh, well, they're giving me money. I need to be attracted to them. And it's like, if you're not really, like, strong-minded, it'll break you. And it'll break you down and make you feel like shit. And you become depressed. And it's like, when you get to that point, it's kind of where it's like that breaking point moment. It's like, you know, you need to choose, do I keep going in this direction? Or do I try and do something else with my life and, like, rise above what I'm doing right now? And it's, like, it's a lot. But I'm sure it's even harder than the transgender community. Because, like you said, where were you? You were in Santa Monica Boulevard. Everyone that listens to this will understand when you say, I was in Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, yeah. For anyone who's listening that's not in Los Angeles, who doesn't know about Santa Monica Boulevard, Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles is the transgender stroll, the hoe stroll, where prostitution is...
between Highland and Fairfax.
Yes, between Highland and Fairfax, which... it's sad, but it's a way that...
it's a necessary evil.
Yeah,
for
sometimes
people that need to survive.
Yeah, it's a way of survival. I don't promote prostitution, but I don't condone it because I know I've been there. You know, it's very hard for porn stars and escorts to have loving, strong relationships, strong bonds with people.
Yeah,
so.
It's like a trust issue thing, but I think it's a lot of people and. In our community, it's a lot of broken people because there's so much, like, always looking for the next best thing, or it's not very much loyalty left amongst people. We kind of talked about that last podcast, like, the whole like, my generation lacks... wait, were we talking about that?
Yes.
We were talking the whole lack of community. Yeah, my generation has a lack of community. And that's why it's like, oh, this bitch, look at her. She's wearing this, and she's doing this, and she's got this, and she's and queens coming for each other, and transgender people coming for each other. Like, we were talking about that too, is everyone coming for each other. And it's like,
instead of standing together.
Exactly. Instead of being like, okay, girl, instead of wearing that, you should wear this. But you want to wear that? You still my girl. I got your back. It's like, instead of the sense of community, it's like, she's not with our clique. I don't mess with you, girl. Bye. It's very that.
You know, one thing I learned, because I had Leah Lockhart actually sent out a tweet the day before she was to come down here. She had like four or five different people lined up that she could stay with, but they all either didn't get back to her or had plans changed, things of that nature. So I was like, you know what? I interviewed you. You know, you can stay here for your time during the awards. And it was really, really eye-opening for me because what you said about a lack of community or, you know, bickering back and forth, I think any population is going to have that. But I learned that specifically from talking with her, apart from, you know, being on record, etc., that it is a really, really awesome community. There is a lot of support among transgender sex workers, trans women particularly. There is really a whole lot of community and a feeling of family there. It's a feeling of acceptance, especially if you're not supported by your parents. I'm fortunate to be supported
as
my mom calls me her daughter now. And, you know, it was first time she called me her daughter, I cried. It was just so beautiful.
Just a weight lifted off your shoulders.
Yeah, and she did that, and the rest of the family just fell in line. And haven't misgendered me or dead named me since.
That's good.
You know, so for people whose family bails on them, you know, especially if they're, you know, in the sex industries, you know, working in porn, doing escorting, what have you, there is a lot of sense of community where, yeah, you might bicker back and forth a little about, you know, what outfit, or, hun, you should not be wearing those shoes. or, you know, while there may be a little bit of that, the sense of family and love among trans women who are sex workers is really beautiful and really strong. And it's a family that a lot of people, it's the only family they have.
You touched on a great topic. And as much as I was saying that, no, there is, like, not a sense of community, in that aspect, there is. There's a lot of great support groups. And even on the boulevard, like, there are girls that you may not think are watching your back, but they see you. Everything mm-hmm. that goes down. If you are in trouble, which I have been before, they are right there. Girls you may not have gotten along with because you stole one of their johns or vice versa, we are all there for each other. So you're right. At the end of the day, we are all we have, and there are those moments, and there are support groups that are definitely, definitely prevalent. And especially, I saw that recently at the Transgender Erotic Awards, and the sense of community, at least within our small community, which is growing, is big, because the avians kind of shut us out. They don't really acknowledge us, or, you know. So it's Steven who does Groovy, who's produced Groovy, is the sponsor for the Transgender Erotic Awards, or founder. And he put together this whole show showcasing the beauty of transgender porn, transgender eroticism. So it's, I think it's an amazing thing. So yes, you're right. There are people out there paving the way to make our community better. And you're one of them. And I'm trying to do the same. So at least with this podcast and Code Anonymous, and I think it's a beautiful thing, and we need to keep building on that.
I agree.
Yay.
Definitely.
Thank you. I'm happy to be one of these new voices. Nikki actually told me that it was really important work when I, like, she goes, you know, something like this has never been done. So, you know, so hopefully it'll become a way for people to see the humanity behind the people and stop, you know, a lot of the bigotry and hatred and preconceptions that people have towards trans sex workers.
A lot of it is just education, getting the right information out there so people know that we're not, you know, that we're not all bad, that we're not all thieves, that we're not all these cracked out, you know, prostitutes. Like, we are humans, we are here, we are, you know, we are educated, and, you know, we have a lot to offer other than just our bodies, other than just, you know, a good time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It really does need to be shown to people. And just, yeah, I was really honored. The third interview I did was Chelsea Poe, and she actually sought me out. When she
that's
saw
awesome.
What I was doing,
yeah, that's
and
awesome. When
asked, and
coming to you
and asked for an interview, I was completely blown away. I have a lot of respect and admiration for what she's been doing. I was a little disappointed that she didn't win the award, best film award she was nominated for, but
she actually came back very bitter about that. We just had a discussion on Facebook about that.
Well, you know,
But I think, you know, with the awards, like, we all put forth our best foot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's ultimately up to the judges and our fans.
Absolutely. And I think that while some people, I mean, Chelsea may have been a little bit bitter, I'm not going to hold that against her because...
Oh, not at all.
On one level, it's a celebration of community, but on another level, by it being an awards show, it does create tension in the community, which, you know, so it is a little bit of a double-edged sword, but in the end, really all we have are each other.
Exactly.
And we can't forget that. And in the end, yeah, you may get an award for something, or you may not get an award for something. In the end, it's, you know, getting an award is amazing, but at the same time, maybe a little too much emphasis is being placed on it, you know, sometimes, and we got to remember not to take it too seriously.
Of
because
course.
It can be divisive if we do.
I mean, I could be really bitter. I've been nominated for awards the past 3 and 4 years. I won awards twice, but these last 3 years, I haven't won anything. But I still go to the awards show. I still go to the after party. And I'm there to support my community. Like, I'm there to support the girls. I'm there to support the producers who, you know, provide us with the work, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, they keep us employed. They keep us housed. Like, and then also Steven, who's amazing. Like, he put his, you know, himself on the line for scrutiny because he's doing such an amazing thing for the trans community. Mm-hmm. So he gets a lot of backlash for it. But at the end of the day, I think, yes, there's competition, but a little competition is good. It keeps us on our A game. It keeps us pushing next year. Okay, this year, I'm going to do it bigger. I'm going to do it better for that award. And right. I think that's awesome.
Sex work is work. It, you know, takes effort, energy, and
a lot of emotions.
Yes.
And a lot of conflicting emotions,
yeah,
too.
That's
like,
the worst part.
Like with Becca Benz, she did it because she couldn't get anywhere else. You know, and that's society that's not letting her, you know, go forward. And, you know, just because she's trans, she can't, you know, she's very brilliant, very, you know, very intelligent woman, and, you know, her job changed. And she was told she was no longer qualified for it about 2 months after she came out and went full time. So there's that kind of discrimination that goes on, and people need to be called out for it, because while it's maybe illegal in some states to fire somebody for being trans, people who are transphobic will find a way around it.
Definitely. And I think I applaud the Transgender Law Center of San Francisco because they take on cases like that all over, of people being, or trans people being discriminated because of coming out on the job, or because of coming out, or because of not getting a job for being transgender. So I applaud them. If you are in that circumstance, please check out the Transgender Law Center in San Francisco. It's amazing. But I also think that being in the industry will prohibit you, being in porn or having an ad up will prevent you from, or can inhibit you from, getting a regular job. There are a lot of places that will not hire porn stars.
That's very true. Whenever I do acting stuff, before I get booked in an acting gig, that's actually on the contract before you sign it. It says, if we go look, will there be anything related to the adult film industry, whether it be you're starring in a porn, you're just doing background in a porn, or have you ever been featured in something, like, have you ever escorted? Like, they literally ask you, even acting stuff. So it's like, you can't even get an acting gig if you used to be a porn star. It's like,
exactly.
Nope, sorry, we can't put your face on our company's label because it's just a bad business move, because if someone feels like they have a vendetta for our company or our business, they want to come for us, all they have to do is Google your name and it pops up, oh, porn star or sex worker or this, this, this. So then they're like, sorry.
I've gotten denied several opportunities to be on TV and different,
it's crazy,
different job positions because I'm a porn star, because I've been doing porn for so long. So I think that's it's hard. It's hard. So once you make once you take that step into the sex industry, it definitely has consequences. I think society needs to accept the fact that these are things that we do to survive.
Yeah,
it's exactly.
Like, they sit there and watch it, so it's like, there's a reason why I'm still working. It's because you're clearly watching these tapes and these videos and enjoying them. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a thing. And those are usually the people that are like the first ones to be like, no, it's wrong. But then they go run home and they're just like, I'm gonna go find this bitch online. I'm gonna go look for her pornos. I'm gonna try and find her. I'm gonna watch her. And
well, that's what my partner is dealing with the relationship that we had, was that I was a porn star. He was a conservative businessman, and he was afraid that with my career, it would affect his business. And I think that's common for people. That's,
it is.
You know, it's
a common worry.
Yeah, so I think it's society needs to know that, you know, yes, we do things to survive, but that doesn't make us, you know, that doesn't make us bad people, more intelligent, and like we have more to offer. Like,
absolutely.
The lady at the Oscars, well, one of the women yesterday won an Oscar for a short film. And it was about the hotline veterans call. It's a suicide hotline for veterans.
The last call, or?
Yes, last call. She said something about suicide should be talked about in the open. It's same. That's what I can say. Same. Like the whole transphobia, the whole everyone thinks, people could think it's wrong, employers and all this. Like, it should just be talked about more openly, because a lot of these things and all these issues that we're facing could be avoided if it's just talked about openly, because everyone has this like fear of it, because it's like talked like in secret, or it has to be like looked at as secretive because people think it's bad, and it's not really bad. It's a lot, so many people's normal everyday life.
Yeah,
but people are like, it's bad, but it's like so many people on every day, someone takes their life multiple times a day. People are taking their lives, and people don't talk about it. And so you bring it up.
But it's something that is something that crosses everybody's mind.
Exactly.
And I think
and
that you're
just
right.
Be talked about out loud. I like when she said that. When I heard her say that, I was like, yes, yes, If issues should be talked about out loud. That's the only way things get solved. If there's a problem, speak about it. You can solve it, or you can just continue arguing about it.
But I think it also needs to be, you have to have a very good support system to be able to feel comfortable to talk about it.
Yeah, because I feel like if we shine more light on, like, the trans community, I feel like a lot of stuff that, like you said, like, the numerous murders that happened, like, just in L.A., like, my friend Melissa Brown, she lived in a bad part of Koreatown, and she had found one of her transgender girlfriends in the dumpster right outside of her apartment. And was it on the news? No. But some little white bitch fell down a well, and that was all over the nation. Or someone got in a car accident in somewhere in...
The Kardashians got in a car accident.
Well, a Kardashian got rear-ended, and it's
all
national
news. All
of us
know about it, yeah.
Breaking news! The Kardashians got rear-ended on the 101.
That's
breaking.
It's ridiculous.
But,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
But people's lives are being taken because of who they are.
And we get no airtime.
Exactly. It's not even airtime. It's just, it's not talked about it. Like, suicide. It's not, they don't talk about it.
Exactly.
That's not looked at as news when stupid minuscule things are looked at as news and blown up as news. And it's like, that's not news. This is news. This woman lost her life because she probably was an escort, and she probably went with someone who thought she was a real woman, because that's a very common issue as well. With, like you said, you were in trouble one time, and I'm sure that's why you were in trouble. It's because someone was trying to pick you up, probably thought you were really a woman. You got with him, and he was like, whoa.
Actually, that wasn't the case.
It wasn't.
But I've had that happen.
Yeah.
I've had that happen where...
Because it happens to me just from
people,
walking down the street.
Yeah,
they're like, oh,
is,
hey, girl. And they get close to you, they're like... Oh, you're not a girl. And they get mad at me. It's like, don't get mad at me because you thought I was attractive.
Yes,
that's not my fault whatsoever. I'm not here for you. I'm here for me.
And I think that's a great topic that we should cover, is because disclosure will get you killed.
Yep.
And non-disclosure will also get you killed.
I know a lot of girls that are very non-inclusive about things.
Which is, you know, quite frankly, it's bullshit. You know, why should what I wear and how I present myself outwardly, why should that affect you at all? If you have a problem with it, that's not a problem with me. That's a problem with you.
Yes.
And, you know, people need to take a step back and figure out what's wrong within themselves of why they have that feeling towards people who are transgender or gender nonconforming. They really do, because, you know, if, you know, beauty is beauty. And if you see somebody who's beautiful, it should not matter what's between their legs. But people are just like, oh my God, I find this person really beautiful, really attractive. Oh wait, you have penis and testicles. It is about hearts and not parts. But, you know, it's like, if they've got a negative reaction, you know, yes, you can come right out and say, I'm a trans woman, and that'll get you killed. Or you could also wait until like the third or fourth date and be like, oh yeah, I need to tell you, I'm a trans woman. And they could still freak out.
Yeah.
You know, you could tell them right up front and they'll freak out. So, you know, when people freak out over people who are trans, that's not a problem with the people being trans, but in 49 of the 50 states, it's now legal to murder a trans woman.
Wait, what?
And
yes,
it's legal to murder a trans woman and blame her for you killing her in a court of law. It's called the Trans Panic Defense.
Wow.
Governor Brown last year signed a law that basically nullifies the Trans Panic Defense.
That's ridiculous.
That's why it was such a big deal when that football player just killed his trans girlfriend. And it's not really getting the book thrown at him
because of that law.
Yeah, he's saying that I panicked because I found out that my girlfriend was a transgender. What?
Wow.
It's not okay.
The fact that that's a thing, that I'm so glad you said that, because I've never heard of that. That's, wow. That is just wow. Like, really? Trans panic? Really?
It's just a cop-out. It's a really lame excuse.
That is
and it's a legal term.
A to just try just to get away with murder. How exactly. To get away with murder? Pretend you didn't know someone was transgender. That's how you can get away with murder. That's some bullshit. That's something that should be.
Yeah, and it's definitely something that we need to get out there so that we can have more legislation in the country nationwide. It needs to be a nationwide legislation.
Exactly. That's exactly. It's like, you know, it. You know, getting the trans panic defense removed from the law, because there had been precedents, you know, for it, you know, where people are like, oh yeah, we understand, blah, 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 blah. You know what? It's the same thing as, you know, when in the early 90s when people were being gay bashed.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, now we've got a lot of the states, you know, having equal marriage laws, you know, but, you know, okay, that's all fine and well, but, you know, trans people can still be killed just for being who they are, and their killers are walking free because, oh my God, I didn't know. Well, you know, that doesn't change the fact. Half the time, they're going to know. And it's like, okay, well, you know, okay, so basically you lied and you got out of killing a beautiful, wonderful person. It's fucking bullshit, and it needs to stop, and it needs to stop now.
It does. I totally agree. But I also think there are two really big issues that, one, disclosure is important. I don't care who you are. I think you need to be upfront and honest.
I'm even like that.
And yeah, and the second thing is that as a trans woman or a trans man or a trans individual, not gender nonconformant, you need to protect yourself. You need to have something to protect yourself with at all times, because we are being targeted. This is huge. The more spotlight we put on this issue, the more we're being targeted.
Yeah, but it's a must, though.
Yeah.
It's like a necessary evil just to get some points across, is to shine the spotlight. So more people, like we said, so more people see. Because the fact that I didn't know about that whole trans panic thing, that kind of bothers me a little bit that I didn't know about that. It kind of makes me mad that's even a thing.
But
that shouldn't be a fucking thing. Like, it kind of makes me angry.
But I'm glad that the governor put it out there, because he's protecting us. Now, at least in California, they can't do that. You can't get away with that here anymore.
How many states did you say?
49. It's legal in 49.
49, except for California.
Well, California, you're doing something right. We got weed, and we don't have that law. Which is good. But we need... That's crazy. We have 49 states that's a thing, but we have 43 states that we can now get married in. At least we have that, but...
Exactly. That's like I was saying, like,
it's so bad.
It takes the whole LGBTQ community. We are LGBTQ. We need to stand up as one voice. We need to stand up as one community.
So Harvey Milk did. Look what he did.
Yeah, there's.
He stood up and he accomplished a lot.
Exactly.
And, you know, something that's often overlooked when it comes to the gay rights movement. Honestly, if it weren't for trans women of color deciding that they weren't going to take the shit anymore,
and Stonewall. Yep.
There would not be a gay rights movement. There would not be equal marriage over the majority of the country. And consistently, trans issues get pushed to the side. It's
because, you know, we're so taboo.
Yeah.
We're so taboo.
it's like, hello, there wouldn't be, I mean, people wouldn't be able to be openly gay or openly lesbian if it weren't for trans women of color, you know, just deciding, okay, we're not going to take the cop shit anymore. And starting the Stonewall Riot.
Huge impact. And I think we need more of that from the whole community. We need to make these issues the stones that we're throwing to our society. We need to make it known that we're here. And I want to acknowledge Tennessee. Yes, Tennessee, we see you for Saturday's Trans Visibility March.
Yes.
I think that's amazing. Over 200 trans people marched down Church Street. That is huge. That is huge. So yes, Tennessee, we see you. We see your efforts, and we want to make this continue. Like,
yeah. I think we should try and set up a march like that here in LA. Like Hollywood and Highland or something.
Let's
like
do
that.
It.
And just
Let's
walked on Hollywood Boulevard like,
we're here, hey. We're visible. Like this is our time. Like
they did that when the All Lives Matter. They had about 6,000 African American people showed up. Hollywood and Vine, Hollywood and Highland, they all lay down in the middle of the street.
Exactly, exactly. And we need
to
do that.
To make that happen. One voice on Twitter.
We need to do that as the LGBT community. I want to see lesbian. I want to see gay. I want to see transgender. I want to see queer.
I want to see queens and day drag.
Exactly, and gender nonconforming. Like we all need to do it as one. To make this really happen.
Oh, I agree, because trans people are not going to survive if it's just our voice. We, the people who are oppressed, whether it be people of color, whether it be because of religion, what have you, anytime people who are oppressed actually stand up, it takes people who are not oppressed, in this case people who are cisgender, them standing up with us.
That's
and
true.
To
yeah.
let
yeah.
people know that, wait a minute, no, this does matter, this is important.
Exactly.
People are dying and just for being who they are. You know, it's kind of like if somebody wanted to go out and just start killing people because they had blue eyes instead of brown.
Come on,
Hitler. It is literally that superficial.
It is, exactly.
Yeah.
And
I've seen it needs to end. I've had a couple transgender friends go back into hiding. Like, they came out and they're like, yes, they're feeling it, living their lives. And then a couple of choice situations happened to them. And they went right back in. I want to be like Professor X with Cerebro. And he puts on that hat and he finds all the he finds all the mutants. And he brings them all together and creates a giant family of mutants. And I want to do that and find all the transgender people, all the gay boys, all lesbian girls, everyone that's hiding and scared to come out because of the judgment or their families are losing this or losing that. I just want to find them and bring them all together and be like, here, I want to make like a safe haven. For, like, the gay community, like, the gay world. I want to make a safe haven for us.
Well, with doing Tea Time Cake, I think you're doing that. Like,
good.
This
I
is
hope so.
A safe place for you to express yourself, for people to know that there are people like us, like you.
All over.
Paving a way. Like, we are paving the way for another generation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Another transgender.
Like, don't
another...
be afraid to love you.
Isn't that what we're here for?
Yup.
Exactly.
The tea! That's why it's tea time. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation.
Well, thank you.
Do we want to talk about the Oscars for a minute before we wrap up?
Yeah, we could totally talk about the Oscars.
Yes. Okay. Well, I mean, I think the only thing we're really going to talk about is Lady Gaga.
Well, thank you.
That was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, dude, thank you though,
Victoria.
Very much.
That
Victoria,
was
yeah.
And definitely check out transethics.wordpress.com. It's worth reading. The interviews are fantastic. My interview will actually be on there very soon tomorrow.
Yeah.
So check that out, and then let's get into the Oscars.
Yeah, the more people that go to the website, the more interviews, the more people you guys can get to know in your community.
Yes.
So thank you
for having me. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
So Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
I cannot. Like, I was at where the hell was I? I was on set yesterday, and I just opened Facebook for the first time all day, and I just swiped down and. All I saw was, oh my god, Lady Gaga. Oh my god, yes, Gaga. Oh my god, yes. Oh my god, Lady Gaga did this. Oh my god, yes. Oh my god, bitch, give me that hair. And I was like, you need to watch this. I need to watch it. Because I'm obsessed with Lady Gaga. She's one of the reasons I started doing drag. But like,
I was blown away just by her vocal range. And I've listened to Gaga pre-Pop Gaga, and I think she's
incredible.
Yes, when she was incredible, amazing vocalist. And I think that just showcased how much of a true artist she was. Like,
yeah, I'm one of the thousand people that actually bought her first album, Red and Blue, Stephanie Red and Blue. I think she only sold 1,000 of those records, and I think I was one of the first people, the only people that own it, other than her, like, other super fans. But, like, that's what she's saying there. But, like, she just had to do the whole, like, I'm crazy, blah, 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 just so that she could go back to doing what she really wants to do, is what she did last night and what she's doing with Tony Bennett right now. She's trying to make jazz music and, like, the music that created the whole industry. She's trying to bring, like, that and old Hollywood back to relevance, because reality TV and, like, all this bullshit music has ruined the industry in a way and oversaturated it with nothing.
And garbage. Yeah, so much
exactly.
Garbage.
And that's why, like, it's, like, all of her old fans, like, literally, like, my one friend, Christopher Mills, he said it the best. He's like, oh, now bitches recognize Gaga, even though she's been... It's like, you hated her 2 weeks ago because she released an album with Tony Bennett, and everyone said, art flop, but now because she let everyone have it at the Oscars and got a standing ovation because her performance gave everyone goosebumps and brought them to tears and to their feet.
Yes.
You guys are now recognizing her again? Followers. All followers. I like that statement very much. And I was like, yes, bitch, if I could like this twice, I would like it twice. But I can only like it once. But she, her vocal range, she sounded like Lady Gaga once while she was singing it. When it was, dun 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 dun. That, those are a few of my favorite things.
Yes.
There's one part of that is when she only sounded like Gaga. The rest of it, she was trying to give you Julie Andrews realness. And the fact that Julie Andrews came out was like, oh my god, that warmed my heart. And
yes.
Like, yes, Gaga. Yes, you said you watched it as well.
I only saw that, actually.
You only saw... That's a lot of people say that. Like, I didn't watch that. I didn't care a shit about any Oscars. I just wanted to see her performance.
Well, I didn't even know she was at the Oscars. I was just on Twitter, and I was DMing with Leah Lockhart, and... She was like, oh, by the way, did you see this? And so I watched it, and I was completely blown away.
Yeah.
It was one of the most amazing things. And, you know, if it weren't for Lady Gaga, I'd still be in the closet and maybe dead. But, she's I mean, and person. Just to have her do that amazing medley and, you know, really showing people how versatile and talented she really, really, really is.
Glad
you know,
she's on our team.
You know, yes. Most people, you know, can't get past Poker Face. But, but it's, you know, it's just, you know, showing it, I was like, even while I knew she was talented, I didn't know she was that talented. And when Julie Andrews came out and said what she said, that was just beautiful.
It was very beautiful.
It was very beautiful.
It was a very beautiful tribute. Very proud of Gaga. She did that.
Mm-hmm.
She really did that.
I'm really, really glad she's on our side. I'm really glad. She's one of our, like, activists. Like, she's one of the biggest activists for our community. Because all of her friends, her closest friends, some of her cousins, all homosexual. Some of her best friends are transgender. Some of her backup dancers are transgender. I actually know some of her backup dancers. And a lot of her dancers are homosexual men, are lesbian women, transgender men, and it's like the fact that that's like mostly all of her people, like that's
not
that's
to say, but all of her designers are homosexuals.
Everyone, she is,
all her outfits, mm-hmm. Everything she rocks, homosexual.
And you're not the only mostly. Person she's helped. But just the fact that she can just from her words, we talked about this earlier, just her words can touch you and mean that much to you that it helped you change your whole entire life. She made me feel that way. Every time I hear one of her songs, like, I'm hearing it for the first time. I can
and
never
yeah,
not
you were just
listen
saying,
to
like,
music.
She's
one of the reasons I started doing drags, because
yeah, that's
the way
beautiful.
That she performs and entertains people is how I want to perform. Well, it is how I perform and entertain people. It's like, I will give you an hour-long concert. I will not stop dancing. I will not stop singing. And I will not stop loving all of the energy everyone's giving me. And I will not stop loving... that you guys are loving it the whole entire time. And then I'll stop in the middle of it. I'm going to sit down on the side of the stage and be like, hey, what's up? sorry, you guys. Thank you so much for coming. I love you. And then get back up and sing. Or in the middle of singing, just like, hey, what's up? Like, even when I'm performing sometimes, I'll, like, I'll be going around the crowd. I'll just be, like, doing whatever it is I gotta do. And, like, I'll see people that I have, like, close friendships to. And I'll, like, stop. I'll be like, hey, what's up? And they're just like, that bitch just stopped performing to say hi to me. And it's like, because I appreciate that you're here. It's like, that's what made me, like, want to start doing drag. Because the way Lady Gaga performs, the way Beyonce performs, like, powerhouse entertainers that are all about entertaining and have messages behind their entertaining. It's not just, let me just put on this really cute leotard and dance for you and sing. It's more like, I'm here, I love all of you. No matter how you are, no matter what you are, no matter who you are, I still love you unconditionally because you love me unconditionally. And that's, like, the biggest part.
And they give you all of them for that performance.
Exactly, and that's why she's one of the most, she's one of the most vulnerable artists, I think, in the history of music, because she literally does just give all of herself to all of her fans. Like, her fans are everything. Like, she literally spends hours after shows signing autographs. Like, she'll be leaving from the place, and, like, her PR team's literally like, girl, come on. She's like, no. She's like, stands there, and she's like, what's your name? And she'll, like, literally sign every single person around until the whole crowd subsides, or it's been, like, 3 hours, and they're like, girl, you have another show, we have to go, or you have an interview on this show, or you have a podcast, you have to go do something like this. But she literally is so loyal to her fans, because without us, there wouldn't have been a Born This Way, and there wouldn't have been all of her other music that has, like, changed things. Like, so a lot of her music is very, like, boom, like, iconic. Like, I know a lot of people came out after Born This Way, because, like, you know what, I was born this way, and it doesn't matter if I'm black, white, or gay, chola, orient, rave, doesn't matter what I am, on the right track, because I was born this way. Boom.
Exactly. Outro.
Yes, come on, outro. No matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, or transgender life. She goes in. She goes in.
Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you very much for
having
me.
I'll let you wrap this up.
Yes, God. Again, ladies and gentlemen, do not forget to check out CodeAnonymous.com as well as Victoria Darling's wonderful blog, The Trans Ethics Group, and it's transethics.wordpress.com. Thank you to our guest host today, Amaya, our wonderful,
lovely producer.
I am Cake Moss, and this has been Tea Time with Cake and Mani.
Doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M-M-M-M. Put your paws up, 'cause you were born this way, baby.
No matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, transgender, not